Continuing in our series related to our purpose as a community, what it means to be a purpose-directed congregation, and a little blurb from the University for Kentucky. Yay. Didn't you go there? Listen to the words. Don't enjoy the music.
You know, for me, the University of Kentucky now can be summarized in a couple of statements. It's what we do to, with, and for one another on this campus, but what we do to, with, and for the citizens of the Commonwealth. If we can't overcome poverty, if we can't close the gap in health, if you can't find new ways to promote commerce and industry, then we haven't fully met our promise as a university. That's why I think we are the University for Kentucky. There is no silver bullet to any of this. You have to be able to understand and assess the levels of health, cultural, political, policy factors that influence all those. You've got to understand local commerce and business opportunity, the health delivery system. You've got to understand how to assess complex data. So you see the magnitude of this. It takes an array of disciplines. So the University of Kentucky is one of 8 universities in the country to have on a contiguous campus this array of disciplines is powerful. We have the commitment, we have the expertise, and we have the respect for community. I have full confidence in a resourceful people to come up with their solutions. We just want to be their partner. So when your partners in identifying what they believe are their steepest challenges, it's only then with community that you can do for community. It's only when you're working in the vineyards, shoulder to shoulder with people, do you fully understand what's possible. If we do it, and we can do it like no other place can, we're part of being the best hope for the Commonwealth. We in Kentucky have the opportunity to unlock so many mysteries that not only inform our state and improve our conditions and all, but I think serve as examples across the United States, across the globe.
All right, so Rich, of course, is very proud to be a graduate of this university, right? It's interesting. I saw that video, and I thought, that is an incredible video related to service. If you look on our sheet, we've been talking about toward a purpose-directed congregation in the back of the announcement sheet. And we've been reviewing our purpose statement as a community to grow in our love for God, which is the most important thing, right? To grow in our love for God is what it's all about. As followers of Messiah Yeshua, by our worship and study, so we've already talked about worship and study, but then so we can do what? Sit, soak, and sour? Take it all in and enjoy it ourselves. It's not what it's for. It's interesting. As we're going to see, it's not about you and it's not about me being on our own and doing our own thing. It's about what we can learn and grow and develop so we can then be used of God in the lives of other people. It's all about other people. So we can then serve and encourage others, both in our synagogue and our greater Jewish community. We're going to talk about what it means to serve others, both in our synagogue and in the greater community, whether it's the Jewish community or the greater believing community. And so the expanded statement on, Through our expanded statement on service, through this congregation, we serve within both our synagogue and the greater Jewish community to meet the physical, spiritual, and emotional needs of others in the name of Messiah Yeshua. Right? There's an action element to this. All right, as we talked at the very beginning, one of the arguments people used to make a lot here, and I've heard it in other places, is it all about being or doing? The answer is both. If you're just being, you know, that's a problem. You're going to be in trouble. eventually what will happen is you become just a narcissist because it's all about you and just you enjoying life for yourself. It's interesting. I don't ever see Messiah Yeshua saying, just sit and be. He said at one point to Martha, she was a little focused on the wrong thing. She was too busy doing, all right? But then you see Yeshua doing what? Feeding the hungry, healing the sick, getting exhausted and worn out, and schlepping off to the top of a mountain to be alone for a while, and then coming down the mountain and walking across the water to go see his disciples in the boat. See this interesting doing and being, doing and being. The doing comes out of being. If you're just doing, 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 but you're not reading your scriptures and your relationship with God is not growing, you're going to die. Doing will lead to death unless you are fully anchored in your relationship with God. It's a combination of both. All right? So, and really all of this comes down to the purpose. Our purpose as a community fundamentally is to encourage people to grow in their relationship with God. We've talked about this. That's what it's about. Grow in your relationship with God. Grow in your commitment to Him. That's the purpose of our community. And why should we love God? We love God because He loves us. We talked about that. John 3:16, classic verse. We cannot outlove God. You cannot outlove God. Your love for Him will never match His love for you. Ultimately, that love is what led Him to send the Messiah, Yeshua, to die for your sins. And never forget, Yeshua is indeed God, who came to die for you. Tremendous love displayed. How do we show God that we love Him? We intentionally grow our relationship with Him. That's why I was saying earlier about the scripture. Reading the scripture is not a do. It's a be. Isn't that interesting? Okay, a little do involved, a little action. But to read the biblical text to grow in your relationship with God, that's what's critical. You sit down, hopefully on a daily basis, and you sit down with an open copy of the scriptures, preferably not on your cell phone, because unless you turn off all the apps, you're going to be constantly interrupted. But you're sitting down with an open scripture based on an approach where you are simply being fed through the Spirit of God by God's instruction. You need that. The scripture is God's word for you. It's supernatural to help you grow in your relationship with Him. But part of that means we're also focusing on things that matter. Netflix doesn't matter. I talk about that because there's so many times people talk about binging on Netflix. I mean, to be honest with you, once I binged on Star Wars, I think I watched the first three films all in a row or something. But then I realized, what a waste of time. I've already seen this at least three or four times individually. What's the value of watching them all together? Okay. I mean, okay, fine, if that's something you really want to do once. But you know, are you the person that binges Netflix on a regular basis? Or maybe are you the person that does anything that's not really important for an extended period of time on a regular basis, like watching all the football games on Sunday all the time? I'm just tossing it out there. Life is short. You sure you want to spend so much time on something that doesn't matter at all for eternity? I mean, if we go back here, it's the things above that matter, not the things on earth. Enjoy yourself. There's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself. Engage in something that's of interest. There's nothing wrong with that. Just make sure that whatever it is not so preoccupying in your life that you're wasting so much time. The later God's going to say, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? You could have done something else at that time. All right. Unless you can figure out a way to make binging Netflix or watching sports part of an intentional ministry. Now, that's something that can be creative. Okay. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to talk about purposeful service. All right. Purposeful service. I want to point out first, if you're writing notes, and hopefully you're writing notes, take the word service, draw a line or a circle around it. Write avodah. Avodah. Service is avodah. Service is avodah, the same word for worship. Worship. Okay, avodah is work, but it's also worship, and it's also service. You know, Moses was called the Eved of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. Joshua was called the Eved of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. Do you wear the title Eved, servant of the Lord? You know, they should be proud. Paul called himself a doulos, a slave, a lowly slave. That's the Greek word. We need to understand there's nothing wrong with these words. These words all have tremendous meaning. All right, so service is avodah in Hebrew. It's work, it's service, it's worship. It all depends on the circumstances and the motivation. Messiah Yeshua gave us an example to service. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. I'm going to read this passage. Not going to really have much time to expound on it, but Mark 10. Turn to Mark 10, page 957. Page 957 in the Congregational Tanakh. Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 35 or through 45. It says, they were on the way going up to Jerusalem, and Yeshua was going ahead of them, and they were amazed, while those who followed were fearful. Again, Yeshua took the 12 aside and began to tell them what was going to happen to him. He said, look, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the ruling Kohanim and the Torah scholars. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him, scourge him and kill him. Yet after 3 days, he will rise again. That's what Yeshua is talking about. That's what he's trying to teach them about. Squirrel! Then Jacob and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said, well, what do you want for me to do? I've been talking to you about my death. What do you want for me to do? They said, let us sit one side on the other. Have they been paying attention? Think about this. I'm going to die. We want to know if we can have like either side of the throne. What's wrong with you people? Yeshua said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink this cup I drink or endure the immersion I must endure? And they said, we can do it. We can do it. They didn't know what they're talking about. Yeshua said, you will drink the cup. This is Jacob and John, right? James, Jacob, the first to die. Martyred early on in the book of Acts. You will drink the cup and you will endure the immersion. But to sit on my right or my left, that's someone else's decision. Now when the ten came, they started to get angry with Jacob and John. And calling them over, Yeshua said to them, you know those recognized as rulers of the nations lorded over them. And their great ones play the tyrant over them. Yet it is not this way among you. But whoever wants to be great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is Yeshua's example. Spiritual leadership is spiritual service. True leaders are people that serve beyond all expectation. That's the reality. If I look for leaders, I look for servants. And people, I have to look hard to find all the things that they're doing. That's Yeshua's example. It's not being elevated. Yeshua, the Messiah, gave his life and he gave his all. This is our example when it comes to service. Now, there are breaks into two pieces though, in terms of kind of a very practical thing for us. Turn to Romans 12. Romans 12, beginning in verse 3. So this is page 1083. Page 1083 in the Congregational Tanakh. Romans 12, first we're going to look at what it means to serve others' spiritual and emotional needs. Remember, as a community, our purpose is not just to help people with their food and physical needs, spiritual and emotional needs. Quite honestly, a spiritual community should be very intentional about helping people with their spiritual needs. Emotional needs are part of that too, more than likely, but spiritual needs, emotional needs go together. Take a look, Romans 12, beginning in verse 3. It says, for the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. This goes right back to what Yeshua was just talking about in Mark chapter 10. But to use sound judgment, as God has assigned to each person a measure of faith. For just as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Messiah, and everyone parts of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace that was given to us. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, or the one who teaches in his teaching, or the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who gives in generosity, to the one who leads with diligence, to the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All right, here we have this long list of all these different ways we can be supporting and helping one another. So many options, so many opportunities. So much creative thought can go into it. But it all comes down to touching into the lives of people. That requires intentional relationship. Requires thoughtful consideration. Husbands, what are you doing to spiritually bless your wives? Wives, what are you doing to spiritually lift up and encourage your husbands? Single individuals, what are you doing to be of spiritual encouragement and help to the people that you know, your friends? Just getting around and pelling around is fine, but spiritual encouragement and support. Emotional encouragement and support. The intentionality of that. It's all about touching the lives of people. Take a look at the next section, though. Verse 9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy, detesting what is evil, holding fast to the good. Be tenderly devoted to one another in brotherly love. Outdo one another in giving honor. Do not be lagging in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Keep serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, enduring in distress, persisting in prayer, contributing to the needs of the Kedoshim, extending hospitality." You know what? We need to be intentionally thinking about the holistic reality of people's lives. I find that some people who struggle with issues related to finances have spiritual needs. It's not always necessarily the other way, though. It's interesting. People struggle in different ways. People, though, need us to focus our attention on them. We as a community need to think about how we can do it within our community. It's not limited just being within our community. Our purpose statement, again, is kind of a little expansive. Here and out there. Who on the job do you know that is just, you can just tell there's issues. There's concerns. There's problems. Do you engage? Do you try to be an encouragement, a help to them in terms of their spiritual, emotional, physical needs? A couple of points. Write this down. I don't care where you put it, but you can stick it under serving others' physical needs. Write this down. This is what is required. Authenticity. Be authentic in your service. Be authentic in your service. Too often in ministry, people are inauthentic. It's a job. They pull a lever. It's a job. They make phone calls and they do things because it's a job. God forbid. God forbid. People like that shouldn't be in the business, if you can even call it a business. But think about in your own lives. If you say, "I really do want to make a difference in the lives of people," are you going to do like Yeshua, where it's authentic? Are you going to do it only as long as people are responsive the way you want them to be? Or are you going to care and love and be concerned with people till the end? Authenticity in terms of your motivations, in terms of the reality of why you're doing what you're doing. Zealous. Be zealous in your service. Be zealous. Be really committed to what it is that you're desiring to do. Be zealous. If you have an opportunity and you feel led and you want to help somebody do something that involves some kind of a physical labor, do it with all your heart, mind, and soul. You know, David and I had an opportunity to help somebody. And I was so happy yesterday, David Barker, because I got there and I'm like, "I don't have a ton of time. I've got so many things to do, but I want to try and be an encouragement." And I got there and I took one look and I'm like, "This is terrible." And David just went right in and said, "I'm familiar with this." And we didn't have a ton of, I don't know how much longer you stayed, but I could tell that it was like he was all in. He was all in. He's like, I'm sure he wanted to scream at the top of his lungs at times, but he was all in. That's how you help people. You know, I've been in situations where people, "Oh, yeah, we're going to volunteer to do something." Think about it. It's like, let's take the cleaning day, you know. When we're here to do a cleaning day, let's be all in. That one's easy because it's within our walls. It's here at the synagogue. But if somebody asks you to help do something and you say yes, are you all in? You walk in, regardless of the circumstance, are you all in? You got to be all in. You got to be willing to climb up and get on one leg and throw boxes in the back. You got to be able to do what needs to get done. We got to be all in. Zealous for the task. Why? Because helping others is helping the Lord. You realize that? Serving others is serving the Lord. That's the motivation. That's the authenticity. Be zealous. Be all in. Last, be generous. Be generous in your service. Be as generous as you can be. All right? Whatever time you can allocate, try and allocate a little more if you can do it. Whatever your resources are, allocate a little more if you can do it. Be generous. Don't be stingy, because it's unto the Lord. Service is always for God. See, that's what's amazing. Everything we do, in word or deed, do it for the glory of God, right? That scripture says that. That means in your service, whatever you do it for the Lord. Certainly in the synagogue, whether you're involved with an oneg, helping with the oneg, or doing something else, you do it for the Lord. So you want to be authentic in your passion, zealous. You want to make sure you're as generous as you can, because it's all for the Lord. Anything else than that, then that's a spiritual problem. You realize that, right? Remember, this is a spiritual entity. You're a disciple, a Talmid of the Lord your God, of Messiah Yeshua. Everything you do should be unto the Lord, to Him. Not doing that is indicative of a spiritual issue. You have a relational problem with the Lord. That's what it comes down to, all right? Hillel said something very interesting. Nope. Next slide. Okay, I'll go here. I was going to read a story. A guy, 500th blood donation. 500th blood donation. My wife refuses to give blood because she's had a bad experience. His wife refused to give blood. She had a bad experience. 500. He started giving blood because there was a family crisis. Someone they knew needed blood. And he just went all the time. And he gave platelets, folks. Not just blood, platelets. That takes more time, more dedication. It's a great example of giving. And what he says at the very end, because I won't read the whole thing. This guy's name is Richard Packman, by the way. He's a Christian fellow here in the Chicago area. He said he will continue giving, donating blood as long as he can, but he plans to take a short break for a vacation. Anyway, he says, just remember one thing. It's better to give than to receive. That's a great line. You know, as much as is impossible, as much as is possible for you, do good to all people, especially to the believers. And what a mindset. What a mindset. Pacman's got this. It's a great mindset to give. I don't know if he's a true believer or just a nominal Christian. But think of the importance of serving people you don't know, okay? So I'm gonna go through this very quickly. This is what you're going to be working on in just a moment. In your synagogue, how can you personally serve God? No. In these three categories, how can you personally serve God? You know, serving here is your responsibility. It's your natural responsibility, just like serving in your house is your natural responsibility. When kids are growing up, I said, dump the garbage. I didn't pay them to dump the garbage. I didn't charge them rent. It was their responsibility. Dump the garbage, do the dishes, you know, even if they got chipped every once in a while. We're a family in a community. There are certain things. This is our responsibility to serve. But you know what really is service besides that? Is things you choose to do because you feel God's leading to do them. Whether it's in worship or whether it's in teaching or whether it's in certain other things that go on regarding the community. Rich has had a passion for the brotherhood. Eric has too. Just a passion, a desire to just get it going. You know, that's wonderful. I love that stuff. You know, I always say the things that go on in the 2 hours of this service, this is more like dumping the garbage. It's not, but it's the things that we need to do in order just to come together to worship the Lord together. This is stuff that has to happen. I don't want to do something. I know, but if you don't do it, we can't do what we do together. It really hurts. No one wants to play the piano because they just don't want to play the piano. What happens? We sing a cappella. Why? Because people aren't willing to serve. Just do the dishes. It's like oneg. Every once in a while, someone's like, let's kill the oneg. And of course, Bob's like, it's the only home-cooked meal I get. No, just kidding. But the community and the fellowship, it's critical. One of the most important ministries of this community, besides our prayer to the Lord, is sharing and breaking bread. Look at the book of Acts. But this morning, what I want to encourage you to think about in these three categories are things that go above and beyond. It's the giving of blood. Assume responsibility within an area of service. Willingly choose to assume an area of service responsibility. And there's admin opportunities, kitchen, music, maintenance, sure. Use your abilities in the service, worship or whatever, laning, Torah, but teaching the kids, helping with an event, inviting people into your home. Suddenly we're outside the building. Or facilitate events like Bob Barrett has done. He loves going to plays. He is facilitating something out of his passion, really to encourage the community. It's a service for the community. Offer to help someone in their home. Go visit somebody who's stuck at home. Look for opportunities to help someone who has been willing to vocalize a need. That's a hard one. Really critically important, though. You know, a lot of people don't talk about their real pain and difficulties. It's terrible. It's just reality, though. We need to be close enough to one another that we can ask and they know we're authentic enough that they will say. We need to get more toward that end than even where we are today. Meet with somebody regularly for prayer or scripture reading, or just get a meal. Just to meet with somebody. Again, to mention Bob, this is something Bob does regularly. You know, I only find out about it accidentally from time to time. It's wonderful. It's real service. It's real encouragement. In your Jewish community, folks, this synagogue is certainly our community, but we're supposed to do purposeful service outside of it. Intentionally be a witness. Do you engage with our Jewish community simply to let the light of Messiah shine? Do you go to Hungarian just to be there? Do you shop at the sandwich club because it's got great hamburgers? Yes! But do you go to the sandwich club also to just connect with the yeshiva bookers and to be able to see what's going on? Or Emma's or whatever. I mean, do you desire to be an intentional witness? Just by being a part of the community, helping with Maot Chatim, just going and helping, volunteering at the Ark, joining the JCC, going to Lieberman Nursing Home and doing something. Now the list can go on and on and on. There's a soup kitchen that's opening up. These are things that are structured that you can just serve at. But it requires intentionality and thought for service in the wider community, whether Yeshua followers or others. I mean, you know what's interesting is, generally speaking, outside of the local congregation, okay, the local community, service is not generally extended to unbelievers outside of an effort to reach out and provide witness and testimony. You know what's interesting? It's very interesting. So in other words, volunteering at a blood bank, there's nothing wrong with it. But scripturally speaking, you're responsible to serve within your congregation. You're responsible to be a testimony to unbelievers. Or you're responsible to encourage other believers around the world. Go look at the Bible. That's what it says. Right? Too many believers think by joining, being active in some secular do-gooder organization is biblically consistent. It's really not. Unless you are intentionally there to be a witness. If you're not there to be an intentional witness, go invest your time in something that would bring a testimony for Yeshua or help some believers with something. Right? But praying for persecuted believers, supporting an outreach worker. How many of you, don't raise your hands, actually actively support a missionary? I know it's not a very popular Jewish word. How many of you actually support a missionary through your money who's not connected with this synagogue? Hopefully you do. If not, I can throw some names at you. All right? Meals on Wheels. Now, that's a secular institution, but my wife did Meals on Wheels years ago when she had more of a life. And she was witnessing to people. Can be done. It's all intentionality. ESL. Some of you do ESL. If you do ESL, do it, but with an intentional desire to be a witness. Or I think there's some of these are Christian organizations doing ESL too. Those are good ones. Go cheer someone up on the job. All of this are just tremendous ways to serve others. But you notice the intentionality involved, right? That's the key. That's the authenticity part. We're supposed to be a light for Messiah Yeshua, reflecting who he is to those around us. That's what matters, really. In the synagogue, in the Jewish community, outside the synagogue, outside the Jewish community. But it all comes back to desiring to be an intentional witness, desiring to let God use you in the lives of people. All right? Hillel says, if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? Folks, that's the Jewish community. We are Jews. We are a Jewish communal grouping. We better be keeping an eye on ourselves and our needs, because no one else will. You know that, especially regarding our Messianic Jewish world. No one cares for us unless we care for ourselves. Hillel is very bright in saying this, okay? But, he says, if I'm only for myself, who am I? If you're only all about you, that's wrong. Let's remember our responsibility to our community. And that, by the way, if you haven't bought your mom and dad a meal in a while, go home and do that. That's also part of this. Just making a plug here. But, you know, but the point is family first, but not family only. Does that make sense? Family first, but not family only. You know, we used to talk about this was Chaplain Jay Kurtz, a blessed memory. Family first, but not family only. That's what Hillel is saying. Let's keep that in mind. If you have no other responsibilities outside this synagogue, you need to prayerfully ask God to lead you into doing something. If you don't do anything here, but you do stuff out there, you got to change that. Family first. But one without forgetting about the other. And never forget, if you're binge watching anything, but you're really not doing much of anything for God that has an eternal value, throw away your television set, get rid of your Netflix account, and go find, get a life. Figure something that's really important to go do that you would enjoy, all right? Maybe you like rocking babies. I'm sure at Swedish Covenant they have volunteers who go in after they're well checked who will simply just play with the kids or do something, right? There's all kinds of ministry opportunities that you can engage with as long as it's intentional for the Lord, service for the Lord.